1 Corinthians chapter 2, we're going to finish up the chapter that we've been going through and continue on in our study of this book. And in chapter number 2, if you recall, several weeks ago when we had the opportunity to speak, that we were talking about the contrast of the world's wisdom with God's wisdom. And so we began to talk about how can we know about God's wisdom, or how is it different from the world's wisdom? And again, remember, the Corinthians had a problem with this. They were kind of enamored with what the world thought was wise or knowledge, and they were kind of going along with what the world would consider to be wise, and they were confused as to what Paul was discussing, which, you know, the gospel seemed so simple, and it involved, you know, Christ going to the cross and these kind of things that they were hearing that looked kind of foolish to the world's eyes, and they were kind of in their pride above that. And they didn't want to be associated with the wisdom of the gospel. And he talked quite a bit about how in verse number 8, for example, where we ended up last time, this wisdom of the world that was in a mystery and God ordained before the world into our glory. Verse 8, which none of the princes of the world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord, as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. So there's another side of wisdom for those that love God. Those that are believers, there's a different approach to wisdom. And that's what Paul now begins to talk about. This isn't the wisdom of the world, things that the world understands, what the princes understand. This is something that we as believers know. And how can we know it? He begins in verse number 10, a very simple phrase, kind of the key to this entire section. But God hath revealed these things, the things that we can't imagine, the things that we don't understand, the things that He's prepared for us that love Him, He's revealed them to us by His Spirit. And that is the key to the understanding of God's wisdom. So contrasting from the world's wisdom, and God's wisdom is often misunderstood, it's decategorized into different things, but those who love God, how can we understand and know? It is through the Spirit of God. So tonight we want to talk about understanding God's wisdom, specifically through the Spirit of God. And we'll talk about a few things of what does this Spirit do for us? What are the things of God involved? I want to give you four or five different things. We'll kind of move quickly. You can follow on the screen if you want to, just to know what I'm talking about, because I know I ramble a little bit and I talk super fast. So hopefully you can stay with me. First of all, the Spirit helps us to know, and it sounds so simple, but to know the things of God. Look at verse number 10. God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. I was thinking about this, if you hold your finger there and look at the book of Ephesians, just a couple books over. And Pastor and I were at the conference, lead conference. Marty Heron, who's the vice president of Faith Baptist, was mentioning some of these things in Ephesians chapter 1. He was talking about the relationship between knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. And I really liked what he said about that, because he said in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, those three things are together. So we're talking about knowing the things of God. What all does that involve? Understanding them. We understand them through the Spirit of God. So he mentions this in verse number 17 of chapter 1. The God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the Spirit, there it is again, of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, you may know what is the hope of His calling, what the riches of the glory and His inheritance in the saints, the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe according to the working of His mighty power. All of this involves the Spirit of God, and Marty Heron was mentioning there that he thinks of it as knowledge, or the knowledge of God would be maybe the facts about God. Wisdom would be putting all those facts that we learn from the Bible together, and then understanding is using them. We understand them and we can actually use them, putting them all together. So as Christians, we can know the facts about God. We can kind of see how they all fit together in our life personally, and then we can use them in our lives all through the work of the Holy Spirit. We've been given a very valuable, precious gift of God's grace in receiving the Holy Ghost, receiving the Spirit of God that is to guide us. And we could look back at John chapter 14 and John 16. We don't have time to go there, but all the different things that Christ told His disciples, that the Holy Spirit of God is going to be coming and He's going to teach you about the Lord. He's going to guide you and direct you into all truth. And because we have the Spirit of God in our hearts, communing with us, speaking with us, guiding us, then we too can know something about the Lord, something that the world will never understand, something that the unbelievers think, well, that's just foolishness. That's just stupidity. That's ignorance. But in our minds as believers, we know, first of all, the deep things of God. You know, the Spirit of God, sometimes we don't have time to go into a deep study of pneumatology and things, but God's Holy Spirit is fully God. It's the third person of the Trinity, that personality, just like the Son and the Father, and He knows the full and complete nature of God with all of the attributes of God. He knows God. He is God. And Paul brings out the contrast here of, well, you talk about a man, and a man knows things related to manhood or humanity. We know about ourselves. We know the thoughts that we think. We know about humanity because, you know, pardon the English, we are one. We're human, and we know about human things, and we can relate to and maybe figure out human things. But we are not God. We don't understand and know God apart from the Spirit of God, who is the essence of God and knows fully the nature of God, speaks to us and reveals these things to us. You know, we can give advice about things of man. We can give information. We can put our opinion in about things of man. But what do we know about God outside of the Spirit of God? We don't know anything. The Spirit of God is how we have the revelation that we have. The Spirit of God working in our hearts and drawing us to more and more deeper knowledge about the Lord and about the things of God, it's because of His work. And without God's Spirit, nothing about God is understood. Nothing about God can be understood. And again, as humans, we know what we're thinking. We can maybe express the thoughts that we're thinking, but what about God's thoughts? Can any of us express God's thoughts? We're human. We're limited. We don't know the things about the Lord. We can't read His mind. But the Spirit of God knows the thoughts of God. And it is the key link to us as believers learning more and more about the mind of God. You know, there's an old simple hymn that's called, "May the mind of Christ my Savior live in me from day to day and hour to hour." Well, how can we know that mind? By knowing more of the Spirit of God. We can't know anything without the Spirit of God guiding and directing our knowledge more and more about the Lord. And this is where Paul is kind of beginning to, a little bit of a chastisement to the Corinthians. They're using the world's wisdom and the way the Greeks did it, the way the philosophers did it, the way the culture is doing it. Let's use that approach to wisdom to find out more about God. And they missed that it's the Spirit of God. It's not something that, you know, they're trying to figure it out on their own, just like man does today. We think we can have a solution for everything. We got an answer for everything. We can figure everything out on our own. But we don't know the things of God apart from the Spirit of God. And really, religion, for all of the generations and time and civilizations that religion has been around, religion is simply trying to figure God out on their own. That's what it is. We can understand God. We can understand this afterlife. You know, I was thinking of, we've had a couple of I think the pastor showed some videos, and we had Brother Nichols here talking about the Buddhists and how they just, oh, we've got it figured out. You just keep doing good, and then get reincarnated as something better, which I don't know how people think a cow is better, but apparently in India they do. You just keep getting reincarnated as something better and better. I tell you what, I'm glad I don't believe in that. It'd be a downhill slide for me, because I know me. Just keep doing good, and then you'll just become a better and better and better. One day you'll be so good, you'll be reincarnated to this nirvana state, you know. They think they've got it figured out. Or the religions of works that will continue to do this and continue to go and you know, do this sacrament, do this thing, or follow this belief. And we've got it all worked out in our systems of man, of how we think we know God. And Paul is saying, you missed the whole boat. You missed the point. It is the Spirit of God. It's completely what God has given us in His grace. And that's what He's showing us through His Spirit. That, wow, man really missed it. They're trying to figure it out. They're going to take care of it on their own. And, you know, we're going to, even back to the Babel, we're going to build a tower up to heaven. We're going to take care of this on our own. All the religions of the world that have tried to figure God out on their own. and yet they've missed the free gift of grace that is understood through the Spirit of the living God. Let's move on to the second thing. Verse number 12. We didn't read verse 11. It goes with the first thing. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Again, we can know about us. We can know about man. We're human. We can discuss things about humanity, and you know, we can relate to each other. We can communicate with each other. We can discuss things and have debate and just talk and have good times and relationships with each other. But can we have that with God on our own? No. What do we know things because of our spirit. Even so, just like we can know about man because we're men, even so the things of God knoweth no man. Boy, that is quite the statement. You know, people get upset about that. You know, here's the Greeks with all their religions and everything. We got all these gods up here on Mars Hill. We've even got an altar to the unknown God in case we missed one. We got it figured out. But they didn't know God. They don't know the Spirit of God. And Paul is telling these Corinthians, you're so enamored with man's way of religion, man's wisdom, what man considers to be the best way, the smart way. They've got it figured out. And they missed everything related to the Spirit of God. Verse number 12, these things that we've received, I put it up in the phrase, they're deep, yet they're simple. They're deep, yet they are simple. Look at verse number 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world. Now that's what the Corinthians, you know, and again, this, kind of remember this as you go through it. This was a church. These were believers. They were just a little, they were confused. Paul's going to straighten them out. So here's these, we've received, and they were trying to live with the spirit of the world, and trying to kind of squeeze that into what Paul had said about the Lord. And it doesn't work. We've not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. Why? And here's the simple phrase, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Now, we could study the scripture. You can look at the book of Ephesians, and it talks about the riches and the heavenlies. There's a lot of things that are very, very deep, aren't there? Maybe some of you have been saved for many, many years and you've studied the Bible a lot, and there's always something new, isn't there? I remember accepting Christ as a five-year-old boy, and so that's 37 years ago. That was a long time. I could still pick up the Bible and learn something new. And it probably will be that day to wait till the day I die. And, Mr. O'Pager, they were talking about you being existing since B.C. this morning. But even with all those years, you can still find something new, can't you? Exactly. The word is a deep, deep mine. It's deep. There's a lot of things, but Paul is saying, amidst all that depth and all the things we can learn about the Lord and know about His truth, it's still very simple. And as I said, the world and their wisdom likes to just complicate everything. Well, you got to do this, 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 this. We've got these lists of things that just sound so amazing and so religious and so pious. What did he say in verse 12 at the end? That are freely given to us of God. I appreciate what our pastor said this morning about grace. We don't think about grace enough. And by the way, that's the name of our church, isn't it? Grace Bible Church. We should think of it every day. God's grace, it's unfathomable. That's the free gift of what God has given us. And Paul is, you know, again, all we can relate all of Paul's writings down to these things, but man is going to spend some time. They're going to probe the knowledge of theology, right? And there's nothing wrong with theology. I've studied theology for years, have 2 degrees in it, you know, but I tell you what, you come to a point where you get burned out of theology. Because they spend all their time with this knowledge. Knowledge. We've got this figured out. We got this system over here. We know exactly the mind of God. It's simple. Well, we gotta complicate it. We always gotta know more. We gotta have this theology. And I tell you many times, and I may be off base, but in my experience, it's all typically out of pride. It's typically out of pride. Oh, well, we're of this theologian over here. Didn't that sound like the Corinthians in chapter 1? I'm of Paul. I'm of Apollos. I'm of Peter. Oh, yeah. We get some pride out of man's wisdom approach to studying the deep things of God. So we've got the knowledge, and we've got the theology, and oh, we get this thrill about having higher knowledge. We get this thrill out of debating this knowledge and these esoteric discussions. I'm telling you, maybe I shouldn't say this. I'm not trying to demean the study of theology. I love the study of theology, but I tell you, sometimes I just get sick and tired of man's approach to theology. I get tired of it. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Do it. Study it. You have to. Study theology. But I mean, there's sometimes you've got to have something to argue about. I don't care. I'm not trying to be trite, but I just don't care. I know what I believe, and I'm going to believe it. And if someone comes up and has questions and needs help, I always say, you know, I could be way off base. But in my study of the Scripture, this is what I believe, and you need to go study it yourself. And I don't mind helping people, but arguing for argument's sake, the wisdom of the world, we're missing the boat. It's deep, but it's simple. And that simplicity of the gospel revolves around one word, and it's the word grace. It's not knowledge for knowledge's sake. And our seminaries are full of people just, oh, I've... And again, there's nothing wrong with it. I always thought one day I was going to get a doctor of theology. That's what I thought I was going to do since I was a kid. And I went up to my master's and I was like, you know what? I'm done. All I've done for 7 years is, what does this one say? And what does that one say? And what did that theologian say? And what did that theologian say? And I got to the point, and again, I'm not trying to be trite. I do not care. Do I care about the things of the Lord? Yes. But it comes a point where this, what about, and we miss, work out my salvation with fear and trembling, because we're too enamored with this one and this one and this one. It's a problem. And again, don't misunderstand me. I am not against studying. You guys know me. I'm kind of crazy. I enjoy studying. I'm a weirdo, right, Chris? Who wants to go read a book, you know? I enjoy studying. I'm not against study. But what's the reason? So I can show that person over there, I can debate him, and I can show him what's up. That's pride. It's all it is. It's pride. We should study this word through the Spirit of God to draw closer to God and have more of the mind of Christ. And if I get there to the conclusion, we're going to talk about that. What's the point of knowing all this if it does not affect my life? And that's where the Corinthians missed it. Oh, we've got the wisdom, we've got the theology, we've got the knowledge. And in chapter 3, we start reading about them. We're like, goodness gracious, Lord, are these people even saved? Well, they were. They're in the church. They were believers. Paul's writing to them as believers. And it's like, what in the world? There was a disconnect between what I have, the religion, and what is my life. And that's the problem we're facing today as well. So it's simple. It's just God's plan of salvation. And it's been freely given. The book of Romans talks about that quite a bit, right? It's the gift. Eternal life. The gift of grace. The spirit of the world likes to complicate things. Works. Do good. Be theological. Have charisma, right? That's religion. You got to have this feeling. None of that is required. Salvation is grace alone. And it's a simple gift. Because you've got to come to the point where you realize I can't do anything to satisfy the Lord anyway. I'm a sinner. And in God's wonderful grace, He said, I'm going to allow you the opportunity to have a relationship with the Creator. Wow. Because, you know, someone's got to pay for your sin. So you can do it. You can spend eternity in hell paying for it. Or I gave my Son a gift. A gift. Grace. To people that do not deserve it at all. We're rotten. You know, I have the problem with our generations, and even, I'm not talking about young people, I'm talking about all of us. Half the problem is we won't admit that we're rotten. We've grown up in this self-esteem, self-efficacy, you know, pump yourself up, social media, make yourself to be great and wonderful, and filter this and do that and look great. Man, we're not rotten. Yes, we are. Our world's got this whole you're wonderful thing going on. And I tell you, one of the biggest battles with young people is getting them to admit they're a sinner. It's astounding. But that's where it starts. I'm a sinner. I cannot be accepted of the Creator except for the free gift of God's grace. We're nothing without it. And this is what Paul is trying to get across to these Corinthians. Yes, it's the deep things of God, but it's so simple because it's His grace. He just gave it to us. Quit trying to be the worldly wise about it. We've got to move on quickly. This wisdom, verse 13, is preached and taught through the Spirit. Verse 13, here's Paul going to tell them, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth. I'm not going to come to you like a philosopher. That's why they got mad at him. Well, he's not a Greek philosopher. Who is this little guy? But which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. The things of God are preached and understood through the Spirit. So that brings up a question to me. What am I preaching? What am I teaching? What are we preaching? What are we teaching? It should be God's words. 2 Peter, we don't have time to turn there. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21 is very clear. How did we get the Word of God? Holy men of God were moved. Right? As God breathed out, as the Holy Spirit of God moved them. It was the Holy Spirit that allowed us to even have revelation. And the Holy Spirit is what's going to help us understand the revelation. Spiritual, we need a spiritual thing to understand spiritual things. That's what comparing spiritual with spiritual means. We can't take human and think we can understand spiritual. We've got to have spiritual to do it. God's Spirit brought this revelation to humanity, and that is our only hope. Preaching and teaching things that are based on the Word of God. You know, we have the Scriptures. Read and study the Scriptures. There's also, and again, I'm not, you know, we're going to throw everything out. No, there's been good men that have written great things about the Scripture, and they're good to read too and encourage you and commentaries and other things. But it's got to be based on the Scripture, not some psychological this, that, and the other and all. We've got to compare spiritual things with spiritual. So we've got to do it through the Spirit of God. It's some little, well, Lord, just help me to, you know, help your Spirit guide me as I speak tonight. Well, it's a big deal. It's a big deal to say that. To preach God's Word, God's Spirit's got to take that Word. God's Spirit's got to give the understanding. And I tell you, if you're lost and without Christ, you're not going to get it. You're not going to understand it. It's just going to seem like some foolish exercise to you. Next, verse 14. Understanding the Spirit of God or the things of God through His Spirit allows for discernment. Verse 14. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he even know them, because they are spiritually discerned. The word discern means to put on trial, to test it, to understand it, to judge it, to figure it out. This word, natural man, there's been a lot of studies done on this. I remember my dad, he would preach a chapel every now and then in high school. I know you'd be crazy. Hearing my dad preach is something else. But there was psychikoi, is the Greek word for natural man. Pneumatikoi is the Greek word for the spiritual man. And then in chapter 3, verse 1, he calls them carnal, which is sarkikoi. And I remember my dad preaching on the three men in that passage. He called them Mr. Sarkikoi, Mr. Pneumatikoi, and Mr. Psychikoi. That just stuck with me for some reason. And my dad's a very vibrant preacher. He grew up in the Charismatics when he went to college. So you can about imagine it was, my dad's a vibrant preacher. Anyway, enough about that. Humanity in its natural existence is what a Psychikoi is. Just humanity in its, we know the wisdom of the age. That's the human nature. We know about our age, but that means three things. We can't understand and don't accept what comes from the Spirit. We can't make sense of it, what comes from the Spirit, if we're natural. It looks foolish and ridiculous to us, and then we just cannot understand it. It looks foolish. We can't receive it. We can't even understand it unless we are with the Spirit of God. Those with the Spirit, pneumatikoi, that group of people, can judge and discern all things related to the Savior, related to Jesus Christ. You know, it's an easy thing. If you're dealing with someone and they just think that this stuff is just, this is foolishness, this is ridiculous, I don't even know what you're talking about, they need salvation in Christ. They need salvation in Christ. To know the Spirit of God convicting them, to lead them to salvation, to then understand. The eyes are opened and all those things that go along with that. And what is the result, finally? Our time is almost gone. It results in the mind of Christ. Quickly, verse 15. He that is spiritual, same word, judge, anakinos, judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. You don't answer for the natural man. Oh, the world said this about us. Okay. You're judged of no man. Those are people that don't understand the Spirit of God. Who cares what they say about spiritual things? They're going to say that. They're not going to understand it. Don't let it bother you. They will not understand. For who hath known, verse 16, the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have something through the Spirit of God, the mind of Christ. The Corinthians had been presented the gospel, the mind of Christ, which can be understood by living in God's Spirit. As believers, we can have the same mind. But for some reason, the Corinthians continued to choose worldly wisdom. And Paul is sitting there scratching his head. You've known the Spirit of God. Why are you continually going back like an immature carnal baby to the worldly wisdom? Why are you trying to then live in worldly wisdom if you have the Spirit of God? If you have the Spirit of God. So he mentions in chapter 3, which we'll get to next time, is that third approach, that sarkikos, which is they were fleshly. And they needed to have their flesh rooted out. Don't have much time. I may have to pick this up next time. But I was reading a commentary that was very insightful because, you know, there's been a lot of misunderstanding of this passage, that to think that there's some kind of spiritual elitism. You never heard of the types of denominations that hold to like the second blessings and things like that? Second works of grace, third works of grace, and all these other things. And that there it kind of fosters an elite group of Christianity. Maybe we'll touch on that next time before we get into chapter 3. But the difference that Paul's trying to say is we are elite and different when compared to the world. They don't understand. We're in Christ. But if we start categorizing ourselves in Christ, we're going to go down a dangerous area. I've told you about that before, and that's the way I grew up. That's how I grew up, with some of that theology that, well, you just got saved, and other people have been saved for 10 or 15 years, and they've gone through these second works of grace where they got sanctified, and then they went through farther and got more works of grace where finally, after like 20 years, they finally got the Holy Spirit. So they're more elite than you are. And you're like a subpar. And you get kind of beaten down your entire life. Well, you're not sanctified, brother. Well, you want to talk about hard to understand as a 12-year-old? And as a teenager struggling with stuff? Hard. Generations of young people have been lost to that. There's no spiritual elitism. It's the gift of grace. It's the gift of grace. And we're elite because we're in Christ compared to the world who doesn't understand Him at all. The Lord saved us from that. But we didn't have time to get there. I've got to stop. The whole point he's making is this wisdom of spiritual things, if it doesn't affect your virtues, your values, your worldview, how you live for the Lord, then what's the point? The Corinthians didn't make that connection yet. Paul's saying, you're a bunch of worldly, you're just continuing on like, oh, the world has my answers for me. And you're arguing and bickering with your brethren and quarreling in the church, and you got fornication going on over here, and you would think, are these people even saved? And Paul's trying to kind of chastise them a little bit. You were saved by the Spirit of God, now live it. Live it. Don't be harsh on the Corinthians, because we're the same, aren't we? We're the same. We face the same battles that we need the Spirit of God to control what we do. As our pastor has said many times, it's not that I don't have enough of the Spirit, it's that He doesn't have enough of me. I'm putting up walls. I don't Don't ask me that, Lord. We need to give more of ourselves to the Spirit of God so that we can make that connection between what we believe and how it affects my life for the Lord. Father, just thank you so much for what we can learn from your Scriptures. I thank you that you've given us your Word. What a gift for the Holy Spirit to give us the Scriptures, and then for us to continue to have the Holy Spirit to understand the Scriptures. Lord, your grace is just incomprehensible to us many times, but we thank you for it. We love you for giving us that grace. And Father, help it to affect our lives, that we would go and live in the Spirit, not live in the worldly wisdom, but live in your Word. Strengthen us, Lord, in these days when it's very difficult to do so, and the world thinks it's foolishness. But Father, we know we have your mind, and through Christ, we can be the testimony that we need to be. Thank you, Father, again, in Christ's name, amen.